The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. The bad city, broken ate a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad tape, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Varela Appalachia, right across the river through the woods from where Granny's down on the sofa. She's chilling the most 18 hours a day right where she's sitting. She gets in a little food. But right before I came up to do the show, she said, "Get me that cartridge at a 93% orange cream sickle so I can have a good night's sleep and have some dreams and make sure you splash it down with a shot of JMO in New York City." The Big Apple, ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do bit. All my friends that come around, fuck the party up. Rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shaking. Hey, what's gigging? It's Pharrell with Carver High this evening. And the number is 844-843-6879. Busy first hour. Rick Caro, our sports business and legal insider from Harvard, joins us. And also Harp, John Harper from SNY TV in New York, to talk bad about the Mets. This is about the only place he can talk bad about the Mets on this show, because he certainly can't do it on SNY. Anyway, we'll talk to him about Jared Porter, who was fired today. And that was early and often when he got fired. Last night we were on the bench, 11 p.m. East. And I started the second hour. I look down, I see this story break. I start reading this story, basically, because it's so juicy. It's so scandalous. It's so sex-filled and just awful and disgusting and repulsive and kick-ass that I started going through it on the air, and I was just flabbergasted at what this guy did. And then as I was doing it, I don't know if you knew this or not, Carver High, like I got halfway through the story. You know, the story by Passan and Kimes was enormous. I mean, it was like the Bible. And as I'm reading through it, I get like halfway through it, I'm like, you know what? I mean, we get the gist of it. The guy's a perv. He's going to get fired. There's no way he survives this, so there's really nothing else to say. I can't keep doing this. And then I go to break. I come out of the break. In the break, I kept reading. It got so much better that I came out of the break, and I was like, I can't stop. I got to tell you what happened. So I went right back into it. I finished the rest of the story all the way to the bitter end, and it was really long. It was like War and Peace. And I got through it, and it was just mind-boggling. I couldn't even believe, like, first of all, and I said this today on Coast to Coast, I didn't have time to really elaborate on what I thought other than to say, you know, he got his freak on. He's a perv. There's just no getting around it. I mean, people say allegedly and all this other stuff. Not when the guy admits he did it. When he's guilty and he says, I did it, and it came back to rear its ugly head. 5 years later, he's cold busted. And so I'm sitting there, and we welcome all of our radio affiliates, Mightier 1090, Sirius XM, Channel 204, the Sports Grid Radio Network on satellite. What up, SXM, Sound Safe, also Sports Map Radio Network and Sports Byline USA and Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Anyway, so I'm like sitting there going, this guy's doomed. He'll never make it. He'll be fired tomorrow. No chance. But the audacity of this guy to just keep pounding the tax to this chick. And then she was like, yeah, I want to see more of this and that. But she didn't really understand, it would appear to me. It was pretty clear she didn't understand what was going on. She was just like, I think, trying to make it in baseball. And so she was trying to figure out what this guy was about and if he could, you know, it seemed to me like get her in, you know, get her more in and get her more comfortable, get her some juice in baseball. And, you know, he wasn't having any of that. This guy had one plan, and that was to, you know, hook up with her. That was obvious. He wanted to see her. He wanted to spend time with her. He wanted to, you know, get involved. He wanted to be all over that. So he obviously was infatuated with her. He just kept texting and texting and texting. And if you read the story, the texts are unbelievable. He really was freaky, like Rudy Giuliani. I mean, Rudy was down there with his hand down his pants in the Borat movie, and that was real. Like, that chick said, let's go to the room, and he was all ready to go, man. He was lubed up and ready to go. And there's no getting around it. He can lie through his teeth all he wants. Like that guy leaving the White House, the both of them are liars. And all I know is, and you know it, I know it, everyone knows it, that he was trying to get his swerve on with that young chick. And she played him like a fiddle, that old fart. And all I know is this guy, same thing. He just kept pounding the text and pounding, you know, do you want to see more? Do you want to see more? Guy sending pictures of himself, you know, with a, you know, Shasta in his pants. He had the full 18-wheeler going. And, I mean, then he eventually got down and dirty with Sweeney Murdy. He pulled out the whole deal. He came with the pants on and the 18-wheeler. Then he just, you know, flat out brought out the Peterbilt. He had the Peterbilt out, and he was taking shots at the Peterbilt. Then he said it was stock footage of other guys. Like, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Carver High, what did you think when you saw this guy's progression from, like, I think you're beautiful to showing his package to her?
Well, I mean, look, obviously the guy's an absolute creep. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You know, there's no place for it. So they did what they had to do. You know, get rid of him. You're right. What you said today is the thing that sticks out to me. Something like this, like, how do you not, when you're digging up on a guy and you're hiring him for a job like this, how do you not know about this? How does this come out a couple weeks later after you hire the guy? That's the part that I don't get. But him himself, I mean, the dude's a creep. He should be done, absolutely done in baseball. That's it. Bottom line. Well, finished. See ya.
Well, like, so I said today that their vetting was, you know, they claim they vetted him 100%, complete vetting. And then I said they didn't do their due diligence with him because, first of all, the one point I don't know if I made it today on Coast to Coast, I thought I did, was the sense that, you know, how is it that the guy, and I think I did say this to Bob Nightingale, how is it that the scout for the Cubs knew about it, the guy that got involved with the situation with the Cubs that, you know, heard her, listened to her. She told the story. He knew that Porter was harassing her and that she asked him to stop. And then he had a conversation with him. So now you got the three-ring circus, right? So now you know someone knows. And so my point is this. I said to Bob Nightingale, USA Today, I think that they're lying. I think that the Cubs knew all about it. He got let go. She left. So they washed their hands of it. And now they're like, we knew nothing of the sort. And if we did, we would have, you know, cut it off at the head. We would have dealt with it immediately because we have zero tolerance for this kind of behavior and sexual harassment. And everyone says that. Every company in America or in the world has massive contingencies for sexual harassment. They have testing, videos, reading. You have to do it all, right? Everywhere you work. I've never worked anywhere I didn't have to do it. And or just have to at least be well aware that if you harass a woman or a woman harasses a man, either or, you're going to get fired. That's going to be the gist of it. I don't believe that a third party could know about it in the organization, deal with it with both parties, and then they all three keep it a secret from the Cubs. But then the guy gets let go, and then she ends up back in her home country. I think today it sounded to me like Bob said she was from Korea. And then I'm like, I just don't believe, frankly, the Cubs. Now, all that's speculation because, you know, they've denied it, obviously, that they knew anything about it. This guy worked for Theo Epstein. It's pretty obvious to me. He won rings. Then he went to Chicago. Then he went to Arizona. And then he got the Mets job, right? So you can't tell me. It's unbelievable to me that it, you know, sat in a safe for 5 years. And the minute the guy got big and made it, because obviously when the story came out, he was with the Cubs and he had been on Theo Epstein's lap, right? It would appear to me, this is just on the surface, it appeared to me that he was, you know, one of his underlings that was learning from him and, you know, making it in the business, right? Then he goes to Arizona, he's on his own. Then he makes the leap to the Mets. So I think, I got to tell you, I believe, this is my guess, Carver High, tell me if I'm wrong. I believe that this is going to be investigated. And I believe that Epstein's going to end up getting dragged into it. And that the Cubs front office is going to get dragged into it. Because that's when it happened. So I think they're going to get dragged into it. And people are going to start talking. And they're going to admit that some of them knew, and nobody ever did anything about it. And then all hell's going to break loose.
No, I don't disagree with you. It's very hard to sit here and think that absolutely nobody that he ever worked with knew what was going on here. Like, it's really hard to sit there and say that. So you're right. They're going to do an investigation, and the investigation isn't about him because he's already admitted it. He said, I did it.
He's already admitted it. Right.
The investigation is, like you said, it's going to be to uncover who let this go, who decide, you know, who looked the other way and said, all right, Jared, you know, this was wrong. We're going to throw you a raft here and just, you know, tuck this thing under the pillow and you better hope it never comes out again. And sure enough, it did.
Well, of course it did. And the thing that gets me is that this is on the surface. I don't know any inside skinny at all. This is just me as Perry Mason, right? I think that any time that you have a situation where a third, you know, once a third person, the third party, once that third leg in a parlay comes in and someone knows about your secret, that's no longer a secret, okay? And then what happens is once the third person knows that there's no longer a secret, you know that's true. Then what happens is this guy ends up getting fired from his job. Why in the name of God, how is that possible? Now, I understand why she went back to, if it is Korea, let's say hypothetically it is. She goes back home and doesn't want any part of this because she's going to end up being a hoe back in her home country. She even said it. She said, I'll be the blame party. It's my fault. I caused it. I asked for it. I'm a deviant, everything else, a sexual deviant. and everything else. And bottom line is, you know, she ruined this guy's life, all the rest. She's nothing but trouble. That's what she said was going to happen to her in her country. The woman gets blamed. So she wanted no part of that. But it's so funny to me how they both ended up disappearing. You know, you can look at it any way you want, but the Cubs guy's gone. The scout's gone. He's done. She's done. Story gets put in a safe by ESPN because they know there's really nothing to it without her confirming it, her being a witness to it and telling the story or coming forward and the scout and everything else. So they didn't have him, right? So they tucked it away in the safe. Here comes Jared Porter in New York. It's the big money job, GM of the Mets. ESPN decides to run with the story. I don't believe this is about, for me, I don't believe that this woman came back all of a sudden and said, you know what, after all these years, I think I want to make sure this doesn't happen to any other women. I don't believe that. I believe that she may not want it to happen to any other women. Fair enough. But if that was why she did it now, she would have done it then. And I'm not wrong. If someone is in the middle of something and you're being harassed and stalked and messed with, you want to deal with it right then and there, and you want people to pay the price, and you want them to go to jail, or you want them to lose in court, or you want to sue them, or you want to get them, or you want to get even with them. And that's the reality of it. Name one person you've ever heard of, seriously, that waits 5 years to come back and do it. Like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let this blow over, and I'm going to come back in 5 years and ruin his life when he's huge. Now, that sounds like it makes sense. Sounds like it makes sense. But what's the difference if the guy's doing it to you in Chicago working for the Cubs, and if he's doing it with the Mets and you're no longer a part of anything to do with him? You can get him in more trouble when he's working with the Cubs right in the moment. Destroy the Cubs, destroy him, and get a piece of money, whatever you want out of it. She claims, allegedly, from what we're hearing, she wants nothing to do with it. No court case, no money, not suing him, nothing. She just doesn't believe he's sorry. Now, who in their right mind believes this story? Who does that? You know what? 5 years later, I'm going to come back and I'm going to say, he's never been sorry. So I need to know that he's sorry now. No way. She would have done it then. And that's just all there is to it. And I'm a lot better looking than Perry Mason. All right, Perrell on the bench. I want to get into the Good Sports 5 and the Top Tech 5 with Rick Harrower, sports business and legal insider from Harvard via Miami. He's always on the bench and on Sports Grid and on Coast to Coast. Mr. Harrow, how are you this evening, Mr. Sports Professor?
Couldn't be better. Can't wait for my Dolphins to be in the play. Oh, they're not in this year. Well, maybe next year.
Yeah. So let me ask you before we get into the Tech and the Good Sports 5, the Tiger Woods story. First of all, his back surgery, I heard today in not so many words that it's more of a Band-Aid type surgery, not like the fusion that he had a couple years ago that got him back into golf, got him to win the Masters and changed his life and got him back out on the golf course. This is more of a simple, and it's no joke. It's not some, you know, thing you just do every day, but it's a Band-Aid type surgery. It's just cleaning up some stuff. Is that accurate? What are you hearing about the surgery? He hopes to be back for the Masters.
Yeah, I don't know if that's accurate, but it's confirmed by a couple of sports doctors that I've talked to when I explain the words that I can't even pronounce. And they said, yeah, it's equivalent to like an arthroscopic knee surgery. It's kind of a cleanup kind of thing. But, you know, anytime you screw around with the back, it's a tough thing. And by the way, I just finished watching both parts of the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO, and what an amazing story. They're really good storytellers, and it's access that you wouldn't get elsewhere. And for anybody that has 2 hours and 54 minutes to spare, I would highly recommend it. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I have seen it. And let me just go to the second part, because that's where You know, the first part was really, I guess, about his marriage and his problems there. And the second part was more about his, you know, affairs, what really was the driving force behind his marriage ending. And then the obvious, the drugs, the painkillers, the DUIs, the shots of him in the holding cell in the jail, the mugshot from hell, maybe the worst mugshot in sports history of any hero of ours. I mean, this guy is, you know, when I was watching it, Rick, I said to 34C, who you're friends with, I said to her, I said, you know, we were watching it, and I said, he transcends sports. He's bigger than life. He is, I believe Tiger Woods is on par, at the very least, if not bigger than Michael Jordan. Honestly, like, Tiger Woods has been the most influential athlete of, really, I guess I would say, my lifetime.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you know, you match up wins, and who knows whether six championships and 18 majors, it's apples to papayas. But, you know, Michael Jordan didn't bring a whole new group of people into basketball that otherwise wouldn't have come in. No fault to Michael Jordan, but Tiger Woods did that, wittingly or not. The only problem with the documentary, I think, is that it devoted, what, the last 15 minutes to his comeback at the Hero Tournament in 2017, and, of course, the Masters in 19. I wish we could have gotten into a little bit more about Tiger as a boardroom endorsement phenomenon now, because he's getting more likable, he's getting more understandable, and I think if I had 15 more minutes in that documentary, I'd talk about what Tiger's going to be valued to do in the next 20 or 30 years, whether he wins 18 majors or not.
You know, watching him win all the majors, watching him come back and win the Masters after all the drugs and everything, and then to win it again, get his life together and see his success and family, it was amazing how they described it as, you know, the guy... you know, remember the guy in the documentary that said they loved him, then they stepped all over his face and back, and then when he won again, they sucked up to him again like it never happened, like any of it ever happened. And I thought that was so true. Like, when he was up, they built him up, then they tore him down like they like to do to our celebrities and athletes, and then when they go back up again, if they ever go back up again, they suck up to him again, which basically means, in Portuguese, everyone's a phony. And so I thought that was incredible. I thought it was really well done. There's no way I think Tiger Woods liked that. He did not like that documentary. There's no way. He's probably livid. And he got his back fixed, and he's in hiding now.
He liked some of it, but I think he liked a very small portion of it. And that family friend... I'd never heard from him before. The other thing you didn't hear from is, you know, Steiny, his agent. I would have thought that it certainly was not a autobiographical a thing that everybody wanted to sign on to. If it was, a lot of his teammates or team members would be there, but, you know, not a whole lot of Team Tiger was there.
All right, so I got about... 5 or 6 minutes here. I want to, in the tech top five, the digital ad spending was up 22%. FIFA launched a new 8-episode podcast series as part of a broader strategy and brand focus around entertainment and culture. Tell me what that's about. And then the Call of Duty League locked in plans to open its new season. That's esports. And then Cadillac's got a lot going on right now. And I know the electronics show in Vegas went down. Of all those things, if you could rip through it, that'd be great, because I still got to do the Good Sports 5 as well.
Yeah,
I wanted to kind of bunch it together.
Quick. Well, the bottom line, too, is ad spending, digital, 22% up year over year. Really good, because people are staying home watching TV on all platforms, and that's important. And so FIFA launches a podcast series about entertainment and culture. FIFA's big because they have all of the soccer players all over the world, men's and women's, so watch that coming out soon. Esports, as you said, is really big. January 23, 24, the Call of Duty League kicking it off. Dallas, Atlanta, a lot of teams. The World Championship will be first of four cups in China and otherwise. esports bigger than ever. TSM locks up a partnership with Cadillac. The trend exemplified, like BMW, all these auto companies sign up for a year, and then they sign up even more with esports, 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 esports. And then finally, as you said, the Consumer Electronics Show has big tie-ins between a lot of high-tech stuff for Gen Z sports and future devices. Doesn't have to be televisions, but it is media.
So the good sports vibe. How about the Bills fans donating to Lamar Jackson's charity? They've been doing this, that Bills Mafia, all season long with other athletes as well. It's crazy what they've done. They did it for their own quarterback, Josh Allen. Now they did it for Lamar Jackson.
How classy is that? You know, they gave so much money to the Jim Kelly Foundation for his kid, plus him when he's been going through his cancer issues. Obviously, 2,500 individual donations, totaling over $75,000. The Children's Hospital also matches it. And so, you know, if you're not a Bills fan, you ought to be a Bills fan for at least a day. That Bills-Chiefs game is going to be pretty good.
So tell me about what Jim Irsay's daughter, Kaylin Jackson, did for mental health.
Well, this is a big deal. You're going to be hearing more about it. I'm going to tell you about something that I'm doing in a couple of weeks, too, in a couple of weeks. Jim Irsay and his daughter are promoting mental health awareness as part of Kicking the Stigma campaign to raise funds for mental health service, about $4 million to raise money. We understand, and Jim makes the case, the stress of the pandemic, the rhetoric about the election, the unemployment, the economy, all of that stuff, it leads to some mental health issues, and Jim Irsay is out front on that. Governor DeSantis and his wife in Florida have a mental health initiative. There's a big tie-in with sports, and we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be part of that, and I'll explain how in early February. It's really cool.
How about the Kings? They're doing the same thing, the LA Kings, with mental health.
Yeah, the Kings are doing kind of stuff like that too, and a lot of people should be doing that because this is the time to give. As the puck drops on the 2021 season, the Kings are dealing with it with the Cal Hope Crisis Counseling Program. And man, if you ever saw any part of the country, as you know from the Mighty 1090 and who listens to you out there, people in Southern California certainly need help.
Yeah, I agree with that, and God bless them. I did want to say one other thing. The Kings are also celebrating their mental health because they're going to be 0-3 after they lose to the Avalanche tonight. They're down 1-0 already. Real quick, I guess I'm pretty much out of time, but I know NBC Universal is going to be investing $6.5 million over the next couple of years doing a journalism training for college students and underrepresented groups and diverse backgrounds. I'm surprised they haven't asked me and your boy Haro Carver High to be professors at that initiative for journalism. I am surprised about that. Rick, enjoy yourself. Always a pleasure. I'll see you next week on Coast to Coast and Pharrell on the Bench. I love you.
See you, man.
All right, there he is, Rick Haro, the sports professor. And Carver High, are you surprised that I'm not teaching those journalism classes for NBC Universal News Group? I mean, they need somebody to teach these kids something about journalism.
I'm a little surprised that you weren't on the short list. I mean, I figured you probably could have been somebody that they at least considered for such a prestigious event.
You know what I mean? As you know, since you've worked with me all these years, it's not like anybody ever recognizes me for anything except all the trouble I've caused in my career. Become one of the Green Street Hooligans or something. 1-0 Avs, and Carver High and I are going to talk a little bit later about all the great hockey tonight and my meltdown on the air today about Torts. I hate him dead. And coming up, Harp. Get yourself a Harp beer. We're going to talk bad about the GM of the Mets. Pharrell on the Bench. Hope you're digging us on SiriusXM, Sports Grid Radio, Channel 204, our new home on satellite radio, SXM style. Son, what up? It's your boy Pharrell back in the day on Howard 101, back again, like you read about. And Mightier 1090 in San Diego and Los Angeles, all of Southern California, Sports Map Radio Network, and Sports Byline USA. Good to have you with us on the bench. One of my favorites all time. We get him periodically. He's a busy man. Coolest guy ever in New York. One of the greatest baseball writers I've ever known. It's harp time. Get a cold one ready in there, Carver High. Oh, listen. There it is. Oh, a cold harp. John Harper of SNY TV in New York, home of the Mets. Good to have you on, Harp. How you doing, buddy? Happy New Year.
Yay, same to you. How you doing, Scotty? I'm good. I'm good.
I'm good. I can't complain. I'm doing better than Jared Porter.
Oh,
is that
my God.
His name?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Unbelievable.
So I have to last night I'm on the air at 11 p.m. East, just about 20 minutes from now, and I start reading this story, and it was the most unbelievable thing. As I'm reading it, my face is falling off, and I'm reading this thing, and it just gets more bizarre by the minute, by the paragraph. The thing is, as long as War and Peace, the passing Kime story on ESPN. Next thing you know, I stop. I'm in a break. I go, I can't take it anymore. I just can't keep doing this. It'll take all night. I keep reading in the break. I come back. I'm like, I got to keep going. This is so juicy. And then I read the rest of it like the Bible. And by the time I was done, I couldn't believe what I read. Honestly, this guy's a perv. He's a freak. He had his freak on. He's sending pictures of his package to this woman. Bottom line, he's like a terrorist on texting. I mean, let's face facts. He was stalking her with all that stuff. And then I said last night, I mean, it was 11:30 at night. I said, he's fired tomorrow. I mean, he's not even going to last one day. They have to fire him, because if not, they'll have, I don't even know how many million women at their doorstep, and they'll chop Steve Cohen's head off.
Yeah. And rightfully so. I mean, I actually tweeted about 12:30. They should have fired him already, because he'd already admitted to it to Sandy Alderson. But I'm thinking Steve Cohen was probably asleep when all this was going down. So he did the right thing. He fired him immediately. No excuses, no nonsense about due process and all that. The guy had admitted doing it. So at least they did it the right way. But I mean, it's incredible. How, I was just talking to your guy Carver. I mean, how could a guy like that, who everybody in baseball telling me how smart this guy was, think that you could possibly, that stuff's not going to catch up with you at some point? I mean, maybe, I'm sure it couldn't have been the first time he'd done it, but still, I mean, anybody with a brain has to know sooner or later that's going to catch up with you in an industry like baseball, where everybody talks to each other. Unbelievable.
You know, I thought that when I even said this to my wife, when I started talking to her about it after the show last night, I'm like, you can't even make this stuff up. I said, listen, imagine what this guy was like in his 20s, because he did this when he was 35. What is he, 41 now? Imagine what he was like when he was in college and in his 20s to 30s. Imagine, you know, what kind of freaky. I mean it. Like, anyone that does that when they're 35 and sends pictures of their, male organ to women has got something wrong with him. And then how about this guy topping the cake with the icing on the cake? He said, yeah, that wasn't mine. I had stock footage I sent her. I'm like, what? You got pictures of other men around in your desk? What's going on here, bro? You keeping naked photos like on reserve? I mean, honestly, that's exactly what I thought.
It's disgraceful, disgusting. I mean, yeah, that almost made it worse when he said he had pictures other than his own. I mean, I you're right. There's got to be something wrong with a guy like that. I mean, I guess that's why when I ask how he thought he could get away with it, I mean, that's probably not what he's thinking about, obviously. But the guy had been in baseball for close to 20 years and never heard anything but good things about him. Everybody raved about him before the Mets hired him. So obviously this was kind of a, almost like a secret life that he had to be leading, I guess, but just unreal. And, you know, you hate to say it, but it just seems like this stuff always seems to happen to the Mets. I mean, they've changed ownership for the better, and they're doing things right, and still something like this, this and the Beltran thing last year, neither one of them were they doing, and they wound up in the middle of both of those things.
Right. I have to tell you, John, I have said, John Harper with us, SNY TV, I have said tonight, on this show that I believe, and Carver High agreed with me, I believe, in not so many words, he believed what I said and agreed, is that I believe the Cubs knew about this. There is no way I believe, because a secret's not a secret when you get a third leg on the parlay. So when the scout knew, when the third person knew, it's no longer a secret. Then I said, that guy discussed it with both of them, tried to get them to meet to figure it out. That didn't happen either. Then he disappears. They get rid of him. She goes back to, if you will, what I heard today from my sources was she was Korean. She went home and changed jobs, careers, went into finance, etc. That's neither here nor there. But the point being, the Cubs said they knew nothing of this. And I don't believe them for 1 minute. I do not believe that a scout of theirs knew this story and that nobody knew anything. But those three people knew about it. A guy that works for Theo Epstein, who worked with him in Boston, worked with him in Chicago. Then he went to Arizona. Then he got the Mets job and millions of dollars to be the GM, I'm sure. But you're telling me that a scout knew, then the scout disappears, and that for 5 years that story went away, ESPN put it in a safe. Then it comes out when he gets made and he gets big. They bring it out of the woodwork. You got to be kidding me. I think baseball will investigate the Cubs, and they'll get busted for lying. That's just my guess, because there's no way I believe
this. Well, they got to do, yeah. They got to do an investigation, because if the Cubs did know, I mean, that's just the worst thing you can do in baseball is doing that to another team. I really have a hard time believing Theo Epstein knew, but I mean, because that would be really a crime. But I reading the story, I'm not sure. Did it say scout? I thought it indicated more somebody on the inside, but whoever, somebody in the Cubs organization definitely knew.
What's the difference?
And,
what's the difference?
No, I know.
What's the difference?
Yeah, I know. And then it's a question of whether that guy, I think they said it was a guy, whether that guy took right. it to anybody Scott. Else upstairs or whatever, because if he kept it to himself, then it's possible nobody knew, but. I know the way baseball is. These guys usually talk, and especially guys in
that's
the
right.
same organization. So that's why it is kind of hard to believe that nobody else over there knew. I mean, MLB's got to come down really hard on them if they find out that they can prove that they knew something over there.
Do you believe that, because I heard that Sandy Alderson, who's the head of everything with the Mets, basically, they may never have another GM. He may just run it forever. He said they vetted this guy. And then I said on the air today on TV, well, vetting and due diligence must be people to live on opposite sides of the street. Because if that's vetting, I want to know what due diligence is. Because I don't believe for 1 minute, how can someone do this for their whole career? I don't believe for 1 minute. It's like you said, it's probably not the first time he did it. That's like the kid saying, Dad, I swear to God, it's the first time I've ever smoked a joint. When the cop pulled me over tonight, it's the first time I ever smoked a joint. Yeah, sure, Johnny. You smoked 1,000 of them and you got busted tonight and now you're lying through your teeth. I don't believe for 1 minute that this guy did this once or anything else. All I know is they did not vet him properly. You can't tell me that no one knew in baseball. It's like you said, these circles are tight. I just can't believe that a guy that worked, and I gotta tell you, the Theo Epstein thing for me, like he worked with him in Boston, worked with him in Chicago. That's got to be why he was there. You're going to tell me that guy yeah. didn't know about him? Like the back of his hand, I'll bet he knew about him. And then now that guy left the Cubs. People say, why did he leave the Cubs? Now he's in the front office of baseball. I think he's trying to get Rob Manfred's job. But you're going to tell me that he didn't know anything about it? Now, listen, he may not know anything about it. Fair enough. I'm not God. I can't judge anybody. But it all smells to me, John.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I mean, I know. But, I mean, listen, it's possible. But I'm really conflicted about it, because on the one hand, Epstein, he's got a spotless reputation. You talk to people in the game. But on the other hand, he's also a guy that everybody knows everything. He knows everything about everybody in the organization. So, I don't know, and this guy went to the Diamondbacks, where Hazen was the kind of the GM who had been with Theo in Boston too. So that whole group knows each other. So it does make you wonder. But I just find it hard to believe that something like that wouldn't have come out at some point either and gotten to the surface before all this happened. So it's hard to know what to think. You know, I mean, you want to think the best of people, but it's really hard to at this point.
Yeah, I don't think the best of some guy that sounds like a sex fiend. I mean, like,
well, not him. No, I mean, yeah, I mean, it, yeah.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, no, yeah, I'm talking about him, though.
Right, yeah. You got to think the worst of him. I mean, that's just unconscionable, you know. But whether or not those other guys would actually hold on to that as a secret and keep it from another organization. In baseball, that is considered, I mean, talk about treason, that's considered treasonous, you know.
Do you think he'll, because he's finished, I said I don't think he'll ever work in baseball again. Some people I talked to today said that he would be suspended by baseball long term and would have to go through the entire process again of getting a job in baseball, and it would be near an impossibility.
I would agree. I just can't see it. Although, I mean, it's not the same type of thing, but I did say, I couldn't imagine A-Rod becoming the guy he's become back in baseball, and he was an outcast there for a while too. But this is a totally different thing. When you're talking about, I mean, especially in state of our society now, you know, everything is so, everybody's so aware of this stuff now and so protective. I mean, I just can't imagine anybody in baseball would hire this guy again.
You know, here's the deal. If you do cocaine, steroids, if you're a liar, if you're a cheat, none of that matters. If you're a sex fiend or a pervert or a freak, all they do in New York in the tabloids is they do the Wiener, they do the Weinstein, and they do the Epstein on you. And they're going to do it to him. They already started today, the tabloids, getting him. The Post got him, and they're going to go more and more. By the day, you know how they'll roll out the red carpet and ruin his life. But I think they treat sex fiends and freaks and perverts and pedophiles and people that send package pictures of their organ to women, they treat them differently than they do drug users. Like Josh Gordon of Seattle, 15 times they let the guy back in the league, and a guy keeps failing drug tests, and they keep kicking him back out. Steve Howe, et cetera, et cetera. The other thing I wanted to say to you is, and we're out of time, is that it's so bizarre to me that no women were interviewed about this other than her, and that no one ever talks to women, and the way women are treated in sports and in baseball is very bizarre to me. It's like they're in a different world, a different island. It's crazy. I think there's something seriously wrong with sports, and female journalists get treated like crap. There's something wrong with that. Harp, I love you. Great stuff. Always good catching up, my man. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for your time, buddy.
All right. Sounds good, Scotty. Good talking to you.
All right. John Harper of SNY-TV on a bench. Oh, it's always my favorite part of the show when Carver High and I in the breaks are talking bad about people. That is awesome. Even people we like. Did you see what we do to the people we don't like? It's true. So, you know what? When we come back, I want to get into, and I know we have a short little window here, I want to get into all the great games tonight, right? Like, there was some really great games in hockey tonight, Carver High. And I have to say, the one thing that stood out to me more than anything else tonight, and I know you know what I'm going to say, was it's not the Crosby overtime winner over the Capitals. It was Jack Hughes of the Devils, the number one last year. Remember the rookie who struggled so much with the Devils? He actually tonight had like 3 points, 2 goals, a breakaway goal. And I don't know what's happened to him, but he got the long hair going out of the back of the helmet. He looked like he gained all kinds of muscle. He's faster. He was already fast, but he's faster now. And he seems like he was a boy. He was like a little boy. And now he showed up this year and he's a man. Did you notice that? Like the difference in that guy's game from last year to like these couple games he's played over the, you know, the Bruins and the game tonight against the Rangers. He won that game by himself. His pass to Wood won the game on the doorstep. That was a Wayne Gretzky pass.
No, look, being the number one overall pick, there's a lot of pressure. Not everybody is Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews who could just play right out of the gate. He was an 18-year-old, small, scrawny kid last year, and now he's built up a little bit more muscle, and he's just going to get better and better as he goes. Sometimes you have to give these guys time, even though they're the number one overall pick.
So we'll talk about that, and I'm watching. I think the Avs are up 2-0 on the LA Kings, and I'm watching that game, and they're just skating circles around them. Oh, it's 1-0. I thought they scored a second goal. Maybe it was replay itis I had going. We'll get into all the games and two NBA games, some college rack as well.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.